You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Welcome to the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast. I'm your host, Parker McDonald, and this is episode number 21. Today, we're sitting around deer camp with our buddies from the Southern Outdoorsmen, and we're just shooting the bull, having fun, swapping hunting stories, and talking a little bit about the challenges of hunting a brand new piece of public land. So you guys sit back, relax. I think you're going to like this show. What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday, if you're listening to this the day that it drops. Hopefully you're going to be out in the woods, because that's what I'm doing right now. I'm sitting here with my buddy Michael. What's up, Mike?
What's up, guys?
So we're sitting here at deer camp, and actually we're in Tyler's trailer. I guess it's still considered deer camp, because we're deer hunting.
Yep.
But, man, it's been a kind of fun week. Kind of miserable week. It just depends on what would you call it, Mike?
It's been pretty good. Anytime we're out in the woods is better than being at home or
that's
work.
True. That's
so
true.
I can't complain one bit.
So, what was it? Two nights ago, I shot a doe. Michael saw a big buck. We helped our buddy Brent drag a pretty big 8-point out of the woods. And then his cousin Drew shot a doe as well. So we got to pull out 3 deer out of the woods that day. So that was fun.
Oh yeah.
That was a lot of fun. I got that video. I got that, that kill on camera. So that was a blast. It was probably the smallest deer I've ever killed. And maybe the smallest deer I will ever kill in my entire life.
It was pretty small.
What your reaction whenever you walked up to my kayak and you saw it? You're like,
yeah, I watched the video. The video didn't. I mean, it really didn't look all that small. I mean, it was a little screen, but it didn't look small. Now, when I walked up, I was like, holy cow! Like, when you were talking about the dog, you know, being equal size and weight, I was thinking, okay,
yeah, but there's no way, way it could be
but
that
when
small.
When I walked up and saw it, I was like, oh, wow. Yeah. It really was pretty small.
Just to give you guys an idea of how small it was, I got down out of the tree stand, found the deer, drug it to my kayak, and paddled back without ever even breaking a sweat. Like, I never got tired one time out of that whole time. But, you know what they say, any deer with a bow is a trophy.
Yep.
So,
hey, you don't run across them that often or within that kind of yardage.
Not on Alabama public land. No. That's for dang sure. I've been trying really hard the last 4 days straight just to get a good, solid on camera kill. It didn't matter what it was. And that deer just happened to walk underneath me. And so I shot her. But it was I tell you what, man, I've already eaten one backstrap off of that thing. And it
you
was
didn't
like
even need a tenderizer, did you?
No, I didn't. Like, it was like biting into a marshmallow.
Yeah,
it was so tender. It was like I fried it, which I don't do that very much, but I did it with that one. And I'm talking about my whole meal last night was one full backstrap.
Yeah,
I ate the whole thing, like that, and I didn't eat a lot. It's not like I just overate.
Right.
But it was small but delicious. You know, I was talking to my dad, and he was telling me how. He was like, I mean, if a guy's going out to shoot a deer, get it on camera, if it's going to be a doe, it might as well be a doe that tastes good.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Okay. No complaints here.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. So now I've got 2 deer. I've got 2 does on the ground.
Yeah. Just in the first 2 weeks of hunting season, right?
Yeah. This is the third. Okay. It was the beginning of the
second,
third. Yeah. So, Yeah, that was a good way to start out the week. I've got another full weekend here. This place only opens for like 2 weeks, so
yeah.
I got the whole weekend to kind of make it happen.
Right.
I've seen a lot of bucks, so
yeah.
You've seen a lot, or you saw one.
Yeah,
really good buck.
He was real nice, and you'll be able to see it, maybe a little bit of it in the video that I filmed. He was feeding up under a tree, and he in a little staging area, and I just picked the wrong oak tree to be under that night. I guess it was too close to a field, and he just hung out. You know, about I don't know. The closest he got was right at last light, and he was probably about 45 yards, but just too far that late.
Yeah,
he just held up just right out of bow range.
She also had a doe come in at like 5 yards.
Yeah, that doe was close.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a good time in the woods, man.
Yep.
We actually got to record this podcast, the one you're about to hear, with our friends Andrew, Jacob, and JT.
Yep.
And they came down or up. Jacob came down from Nashville. Andrew and JT came up from, where do they live? I guess Alabaster-ish.
Yeah.
Or I guess Andrew's in Auburn, but.
Yeah.
So they came and we hung out. They hunted.
I think we're all a little bit delirious in this podcast, so just keep that in mind.
Definitely.
I went, Thursday. I was the last night I slept until Saturday night or Sunday morning after we recorded this podcast. I mean, we were all
a little
bit delirious, yeah.
I mean, we put in a lot of miles. Me and Tyler put in a ton of miles on the kayaks. We had already been threatened of our lives.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
That old man. There's an old man at a campground that Tyler had talked to about camping there. And when we pulled up, he must have ate something bad or something because he cussed us. As soon as we drove up, he started cussing at us, dropping F-bombs and stuff, and said he threatened to shoot me if I ever stepped foot on his property. Like, we literally didn't do anything except for drive onto the campground. And he just started threatening us. So
that's crazy.
It was nuts, but we were all tired. You're going to hear it in this podcast, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you this is the funniest podcast because of how tired we are. It's probably the funniest one we've ever done.
I haven't got to listen to it, so
I don't know.
I don't even remember what we talked about that night, to be honest.
I don't either. I re-listened to it. I was like, I don't remember saying that. But it's not going to be much for like tactics and, you know, learning a whole lot. You might learn a little bit. You know, there's a little bit of stuff that you can learn. But this is a joint podcast, so Southern Outdoorsmen have this podcast on their show as well, and we're playing it here. So I think you're gonna enjoy it. If you like funny stuff, this is a fun one. We're just telling hunting stories and talking about the weekend and stuff. So I think you're gonna enjoy it. Before we get into that, I want to talk really quick about our partners at Onyx, at Go Wild, at Tethered, and at New Breed. We'll start with Onyx. I've used Onyx a lot this week.
Yep.
Out here in these swamps, man, like it is absolutely insane. I don't know how anybody is hunting these areas without something like Onyx, you know.
Yeah.
I've marked a lot of spots, tracked a lot of spots. It's easy to get lost in a swamp, walking through a swamp. And we're not used to it. You know, we hunt terrain,
right,
high ground.
Ridges.
This.
Yeah, you can follow a ridge. I mean, you know where everything kind of is going, so.
It's easy to get lost in a swamp.
Yeah.
So, without Onyx, I mean, I'd be lost. So, check out Onyx if you haven't already. Check it out. I'd go ahead and recommend getting the Elite so you can go to any state, and I don't think you're going to regret it. The next one is Go Wild. Go Wild is turned into one of my favorite go-to apps for, you know, sitting down on the pot or anytime I have some time to myself that I just want to look at deer hunting stuff or fishing stuff or, heck, elk hunting stuff. Anything you want to look at is on there. As far as outdoors, they got camping, hiking, all kinds of stuff. So make sure you check out Go Wild. They have got some awesome stuff already on there. And I can tell you this, I keep in contact with Brad quite often. They have got some really, really neat stuff coming up in the near future. So if you don't have Go Wild already, go download that. And I think you're going to enjoy it. It's really good stuff. Tethered, I got to shoot my second deer out of a saddle.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm pumped, man. I love it. We were talking to that old man today in the Walmarts, and I started telling him about the saddle and stuff, and I mean, it's really neat hearing people's reactions when they're talking about, when you start talking about it.
He's like, so you wear the saddle and do you still wear a harness too? And we're like, nope, it's just one thing.
It's pretty much a safety harness. I mean, I'm telling you, I've never felt so comfortable. I know people have mixed opinions on comfort. A lot of people say that they don't think that the saddle is necessarily the most comfortable as much as it is the most practical for a mobile run and gun type setup.
Right.
But for me, it's more comfortable than any tree stand I've ever set in. It's fun. Like, it is so much fun just to hang there. I don't mind. Like, when I climb a tree, that's fun. You know, the whole process is just fun. And so, like, I'm falling in love with it more and more every single time I sit. So, check out Tethered. Tethered, they're getting caught up. I got an email this week. I'm on their email list. They're getting caught up on a lot of those orders. As you heard me say in the last podcast, Greg has said that they started Tethered just to make a good saddle for saddle hunters. And what they ended up doing was creating a buzz within the whole hunting world. And now people are just starting saddle hunting because of Tethered, because of what they've done.
Right.
And Greg, with his channel, G2 Outdoors, like, he posts all these videos, how-to videos, and people just, I mean, they love it, man. And I don't know why they wouldn't. It has become my favorite way to hunt. So check out Tethered. Get you a saddle. Get you a Manis saddle. I don't have a bad word to say about it, honestly. Just seriously. Like, not because they're a partner, but because I'm a fan, man. I'm a fanboy. So check out Tethered. Lastly, New Breed Archery. Lastly, but definitely not least, because I feel so
smoking
confident.
Them.
Smoking them. Just, I mean, you know, I could have taken down that deer with a dart gun, but it's just so much fun to shoot it, man. Like, I feel confident with it. Yep. I've been banging it around all over the place, and it's staying dead on. I just love it. But check out New Breed. Go, when you call them up, tell them that Southern Ground sent you, and you will get a discount on your bow. Lots of cool things about New Breed. I mean, it's direct to consumer, so you can go in there, pick out how you want your bow, customize it, customize the color, customize pretty much anything you want to on it, and they will send it right to your door. You can try one out for 15 days, and I think that's pretty cool too. You don't see a lot of companies do that, so check out New Breed if you're in the market for a new bow, or if you just want to see what's out there. I highly recommend New Breed Archery. So, Michael, do you have anything else that you want to add, man?
I never do, man.
Never do.
Nope.
It's just true. You don't. You're just looking forward to hearing this podcast. I understand. So, I don't have anything else. So, without further ado, here is our episode with the Southern Outdoorsman. This is the Southern Outdoorsman's Grounds. Southern Groundsman.
The Southern Groundsman.
This is a Southern Groundsman.
We like mow
podcast.
Lawns now.
We're going to start a landscaping company.
And that's how we'll get permission to hunt in rich neighborhoods.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's
awesome.
That's it.
So a good idea has already been birthed on this podcast.
It's been a fun week, but I'm wiped out, man.
Yep.
I'm not looking forward to pretty much anything tomorrow. Like, I just don't want to do it.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to going back into that marsh tomorrow, but I know I have to.
You're going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
You're committed.
It's going to suck, but I'm going to do it.
We've only been here for a day. Like, today was our only
Yeah, we're a bunch of sissies, man. Parker's like, I spent 15 hours on the water.
No, in the water yesterday. I hunted a solid 13 hours yesterday from... I didn't hunt till dark, but it was, I mean, what, an hour before dark when I came out? Something like that. It was early, but it rained on me every single minute of that day.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, I'm so tired.
Embrace the suck.
Embrace the suck.
Yeah, you know, y'all keep saying that,
But I just kind of feel like when I get to embrace the not suck.
Man, once you get through the suck.
When you run an arrow through a big old buck.
I guess so. I don't know, man. It's been a fun week, but this place kicks my tail.
It's brutal. I can see being brutal, especially what you're all doing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, hiking isn't a big deal for, like, me and us because we're used to it. But, like, dude, I can imagine paddling, especially how many miles y'all have done.
We paddled on. Some miles.
Dude. Yeah, forget
so that. Who we got here? Who's
all
here?
I was about to say, we need to do some intros. Okay. Andrew Maxwell, Southern Outdoorsman.
Ginger Bow Hunter himself, Jacob Myers, Southern Outdoorsman.
JT Watkins.
The man who steps on rattlesnakes.
Yep.
Steps on rattlesnakes.
Yep. We'll get to that.
We'll get that story.
Did that happen recently?
Yep.
Yeah.
This summer.
Scouting trip. What? July?
Look at that.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says something about stepping on the head of the snake. It sounds like with your heel. Did you do that?
Probably. Twice. I think twice. Once going that way, once coming back.
Man, that's living the right life.
Yep.
Tyler
Malone, Southern Ground.
And Parker McDonald of Southern Ground. And Michael is here with us, but he had to go track a deer tonight.
Mm-hmm. Unsuccessfully.
You just make all the noise you want. You look tired, Tyler.
Wow.
So Tyler got to do his first kayak.
Let's talk about hunt
weekend.
About that. Yeah.
Like, talk about your first weekend.
Like, what's your thoughts? Because I personally looked at getting a kayak. So you're a perfect example. Explain benefits and what was bad about it.
You don't have to spend a lot of money on a kayak.
Okay.
I got $60 and mine. It was pink when I bought it. why so cheap? I camouflaged it and it held up. One whole day felt like a week long, but one day.
You get used to it after a while.
Yeah.
Like when it starts becoming the norm, hey, I'm gonna paddle every time that I hunt.
Yeah.
When that starts becoming the norm, it's like you're just used to being tired after you hunt. That's just like how it is.
Oh yeah, dude. That's how I am walking now. When we were getting out of there this afternoon, I was just like ripping through a soybean field. I was plowing it up.
Dude, tilling the ground, it was bad. Dude, dragging soybean plants.
They were making fun of me. I was like, I just turned my legs off and I go. I'm like, I'm getting back to the truck where my water bottle is, and I'm going to go chug all the water.
Yeah, because we don't take water with us because we're trying to save weight. And when we're sitting in the truck trying to decide what we need to take, it's like, oh, I just had a drink of that. I don't need that.
It's like, yeah, I'll take this camera arm, all my camo. I'll take maybe a granola bar.
Binaries.
Take all kinds of useless crap. And then, I don't need water.
I don't need water. I'm okay. So, are the soybeans in there green?
No.
Well, where we saw the deer this afternoon, which we're like jumping ahead here, but where we saw the deer was a soybean field that was like starting to yellow.
Okay.
They threw out some clover in it, and that's what the deer were eating.
Okay.
Clover.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
So we're hunting two different.
Tracks.
Areas, two different WMAs, or y'all aren't on a WMA, right?
Before we started this, we should have had code names for everything, but you know.
Yeah, code name. So what's code name for that one?
I forgot.
What did we call it? We named that one mountain called Ant Hill.
Oh, yeah, we got the Ant Hill.
Called Ant Hill Unit, there you go.
I don't know, we got a whole bunch of random names. We got the Cadillac Track.
The Tobacco Track. Holy Unit.
The Mountain Unit. It's not a mountain.
Oh, well, thanks for saying
it's not actually a mountain.
Code names.
Yeah, no.
Like, I forgot what we named this place.
I don't know.
It's
called the Privet Track because Privet's everywhere on it.
Dude, I was running through Privet.
Dude, this
like
guy.
Some kind of bulldozer.
Listen, so he took us. So, again, we're jumping ahead to like the hunt. He took us back to the truck. A way we did not necessarily go, and went through a wall.
We
walked up, and it was a wall like 10 feet tall of just privet. And I'm like, I filmed it. I'm like, we're not going through. He's like, oh, we're running through. I'm gonna run through it. I'm like, I'll clear a path for you guys. 30 feet later, we're still going through it, dude. And it's like you can't see. It's just like privet in your face. Oh, it's bad.
We got out. We're sitting here.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, and so that's why we're doing this podcast so late. It's because y'all decided to go through the. Privet Forest.
That's well,
the Wall of Jericho of Privet.
Yeah.
Oh, Wall of Jericho. That'd be a good code name.
There you go.
There's already one in up here.
Huh?
There's already a Wall of Jericho.
Exactly.
WMA?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, part of Skyline.
Well, that's not where we're going, so I guess people are just going to be confused.
Just let them be.
That's the point.
Yeah, that thicket claimed Jacob's quiver, which we didn't realize until we got back.
You didn't find
it? No, we found it.
Oh, okay.
We had to go back.
Did you hear what I told him?
No.
I was like, Jacob goes off and buys all this stupid crap. All the gear that anybody'd ever need every 10 minutes. He's
Badlands.
Unboxing video. And
yep.
He can't buy a quiver that'll stay on his bow.
It was bad, man. It made for a great track job and a great video. I'll say that.
Oh, yeah. Jacob was upset.
There was a gripping grin at the end of it. I'll say that.
He was like, oh, it might be back at the base of the tree. I'm like, then it's sleeping there tonight.
We'll let it lay overnight.
We'll let it lay. We'll try we'll back in the out.
Bring the dog and everything in the morning. You're ready for it.
Oh, dude. So, yeah. So, all right. Let's kind of go over the hunts a little bit so people know what we're talking about. So,
yeah.
So, Parker, you have scared all the bucks.
Oh, all of them.
All of them?
All of them. Every single one. I feel like I've seen every single buck on the freaking place. Gosh, man.
Walk through it. Well, what you got?
I'll paddle through it real quick.
You see what I did?
So, I've been on deer. Pretty much in every spot that I've been into in March, there was a deer in it at the moment that I accessed it. So, there's that. Either a deer or a human. So this morning there were 47 people all over the area that I was going. I was joking with Tyler. Said the magic school boat dropped everybody off, dropped all the kids off at the... On these little islands that are back there. Anyway, so I mean, there's deer. I was seeing deer with my flashlight this morning, already on those little islands, and so I couldn't get in there because I'd bump all those deer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by the time I found a spot this morning, it was already too late, and I jumped a deer, a buck out of his bed, and then I jumped another buck out of his bed this evening. Pretty good buck. Real good buck actually. Yesterday afternoon I paddled to a new spot, and there was a deer standing in the water looking at me, and then a buck, and I found his bed yesterday. And then last weekend I saw a big buck swim across the water in front of me,
and you think he got whacked.
I think he got killed. Yeah because there was a boat, there was a mud boat. Not a mud boat. Just a boat. I don't know what kind. That was parked there, and that deer crossed the water like 50 yards on the other side of that boat. And I was like, what the heck is he doing? And so I ended up going and getting set up not too far away. About 30 minutes later, that boat cranked up and left with one guy, comes back with two guys, and then leaves again for the night all before dark. I'm like,
yep, he's not around anymore.
Oh boy, got shot.
Yep.
Which, congrats. I mean, to whoever killed that dude, that was a... I don't know how it happened that way for you, but...
Good for you.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
That's where I'm at. There was a deer standing by my kayak this morning when I got down. At what time was it? 10:30? About 10:30, there was a deer standing by my kayak. There's deer all over the place. They just ain't... walking in front of my tree.
Yep.
What about y'all? Y'all been seeing a lot of deer?
So I'll start with my morning. I saw a doe on the walk in, and then I saw a fawn on the walk out, and that was it. Oh, and I saw a dude somewhere in the middle. I walked way back up in there, and I got like under this guy's tree, and I hear a whistle. I'm like, where'd that come from? And he whistles again, and I'm like, this is embarrassing. And I look up, and he's like waving at me from behind the tree. I'm like, sorry.
Was it already light?
Oh yeah, it was like 8:45. I was just pushing back in.
So did y'all even come out of the woods at all today after you went in?
Yeah, yeah. I was just pushing back there. I was the only truck at the parking lot, and I didn't see any boats in the slough back there. So I was like, okay, push up in there. I don't know where the dude came from. So after I ran into him, I just backed out, went back to camp, buried some taters under some coals.
So you really didn't even hunt this morning much?
No, I didn't do it. I should have slept in.
This morning.
We could have shot a doe this morning, and it snuck up on us. And the next thing I know, it's behind him. So we did a double sit. Actually, backtrack, the day before that'd be Friday, I drove around, knocked on a bunch of doors. Actually, only knocked on two doors, tried to get permission to access public through private. Since I didn't want to necessarily walk in with the wind at my back the whole time or come in with a boat. So I got access to one property. And I was like, yeah, no problem. Just pull in the backyard over and just walk back there. And anyway, so we did that and found a lot of deer sign, got set up, and got turned around in the swamp. And
so we hiked about 8/10 of a mile to sit 700 feet from the car.
Like, legit.
Straight up.
Onyx wasn't working. I didn't have off on, I didn't download it. Onyx wasn't working, dude.
I get up in the tree and pin where we are and drag it to the car, and it's 712 feet.
Yeah. But
Feet.
712
feet.
Yeah. Embarrassing.
Yeah, it is, man. A little over 200 yards. But we saw one doe sneak up on us. We were sitting in between two just marshy little thickets. There was a little land bridge that we were kind of sitting on. A doe. I looked down. I'm like filming him or something. I looked down. There's a doe, which a very small doe, yelling from last year. Looked like a bobcat. Walked right behind him.
Hey, man.
And then next thing I know, it's already out 30 yards behind him.
Another one in the pocket.
Yeah, a little pocket.
Hey, listen.
Deer.
Listen, you need to kill another one so you have enough meat to make up for a whole deer.
Like, that's exactly
a whole,
right.
A whole normal deer.
You're 100% right. There we go.
God put that deer right in front of you so you can have a full deer.
Yeah.
How many have you killed so far this year?
Two.
Two?
Shot three. Didn't recover the first one. So, two of them off the ground.
Tennessee's been good to you.
It's easy. If you can kill deer, you can go up there. It's easy. I didn't say that on the podcast.
That's what everybody said about Kentucky too, but
no. Yeah. Well, it's like if you're just finding does. Now bucks might be a little bit different. I mean, I've found some bucks, but it's like if you're just going to go and you just want to go kill some does, I don't think it'd be overly difficult, especially out of a day or two. So
that's crazy.
It's always going to new spots. It's never spots I've been to before. Scouting.
Yeah.
Going it's blind. Just... Deer numbers are crazy though. Deer numbers up there. It's phenomenal.
I'll tell you what we need to do in the future. We need to do a podcast on Jacob's like permission game. Like, your success rate is like high as far as like getting access to private. He's got a lady who not only gave him permission to access through a property, but to shoot turkeys on a property, and she bakes him cookies whenever he comes by.
Every time.
No way.
Yep.
That salesman.
You just got that salesman awesome. In your blood,
it.
Man.
Yep, I love it.
And she feels bad for you because you're a ginger.
No, she loves my hair. That's another thing. They love my hair, dude. I'll go in, man, I make sure that hair looks good. I'll walk up and they're like...
Does she think y'all are, like, together?
I don't know if she's 85 years old.
I don't mean
if she has some more property, maybe. I don't know.
maybe it can work out.
How many acres do you have?
She's only got four that I don't know. Put a couple zeros behind it, maybe. Okay.
That's... Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, the morning was kind of slow. Yep. Afternoon was good.
Afternoon was awesome.
Was eventful.
And that's another thing. We scouted yesterday. I scouted hunting pressure. I wanted to see where guys were parking on Friday, and we kind of played that to our hand today. And I definitely think it worked out for us. But yeah, afternoon was interesting to say the least. Didn't know what we really wanted to do. And decided to go to one spot and wanted to hike in back to some marshes. I mean, pretty much. What it was, I mean, it was a. Mm-hmm. I mean, how far was it?
A mile is the crow flies.
But it's probably at least a mile and a quarter.
Mile yeah, half. At least. Because you got to zigzag, cross three creeks. It's terrible. Like swamp grass in there. It's like up to your hips that you just gotta like wade through.
It's like you find deer.
A lot of blowdown too. It's like a ton of blowdown.
Yeah, and you like find pockets of deer sign. There's no deer sign. Pockets of deer sign. No deer sign. Yeah. It's like you think it'd be everywhere, but it's not. And that made me paranoid.
Yeah, when we got in there and we saw a couple like month old rubs, I was like, oh crap. We walked like all the way in here and we're gonna see like a coyote and a squirrel.
And that's what, that's one of my tactics is like there, there's, I believe there's a point when you're walking so far in, you're walking into more pressure.
Yeah.
Like, cause people are either coming from the backside or people are making a round to somehow get in there. And I felt that's what we were doing. We're like walking so far, getting past the point of no return.
Walking but, past the deer.
I do that a lot. I'll be like, oh, if the sign's this good here.
Yep. What's over
there? Surely.
No, dude. It's like not knowing what to walk past is a hard.
Well, that's what helped us today. So we had, we all three walked in this afternoon. We were kind of like stagger where we were going to see it set up.
Mm-hmm.
We had JT set up in one location. It had a big blow down and just it just looked good around the creek. We made like 120 yards and dude, there deer sign was everywhere. And it was this big oak flat and the little creek crossing and stuff like that. We're like, dude, I called him. I'm like, you set up here? I'm like, I even unloaded my backpack. I'm like, walk up here and you need to sit here and freaking. It paid off.
That's where he was, huh?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So he said about 130 inch 9-point.
Yeah, he's a big deer.
What did he look like again?
He's about 2.5-3 year old deer, roughly. Just big, about 10-11 inch G2s. Main beam's about touched in the front.
Oh really?
Yeah. He's big mass.
He watched it for a while too.
Yeah, I watched him for about 45 minutes. Palmated under the G2s. Big deer. Oh,
just didn't have a camera.
Look, no camera. The only guy in this room that didn't have a camera with him.
Right. He was about 80 yards away.
Golly.
Had a GoPro.
Yeah, all he had to do was hang it right.
Throw the GoPro at him. Right there. Might get a good shot somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're filming the GoPro in 4K, we could blow that up. Joker up and we'd be good to go. Yeah.
You wouldn't have been able to see him. It was so thick. Where he was, it was thick.
Yeah.
He's on the south side of a marsh.
But that's the crazy thing. Talking about like how young he thought that deer was. I talked to another landowner I was trying to get permission from, found out he wasn't the landowner I needed to talk to. He talked to me for an hour and he hunts just north of that property and they killed a 141 inch 2.5 year old. They took it to a biologist and aged a 2.5 year old, 142 inch or 141 inch. And that was like 3 or 4 years ago. He's like, the genetics are here. I'm like, that deer would have been a 200 inch deer probably if it would have made it 5 or 6.
That's crazy, man.
That's nuts.
So
what kind of deer sign are you guys seeing, like buck sign?
We got in there, so we put JT in his spot and we're pushing in deeper and we hit the south side of the marsh where that buck ended up walking and there was like two rubs right there that were just kind of old. They're like not really impressive, but it was right on the south side of that bedding area. And if it wasn't so, we stopped and I was like, this is a good spot, but we're too close to JT, so we kept going. And then we went through an area that was just kind of void, you know, rubs here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got back to this one spot where there's a cattail marsh. I mean, it's like a, I don't know. It's mostly dry, but there's pockets of water in it, a lot of cattails, mm-hmm. with a thick brush around the edges. And there was probably like 15 or so, like brand spanking new rubs, way high up on the trees, like good sized trees too, two fresh scrapes.
Yeah, I was going to say, found some scrapes too that were kind of caught me off guard because mm-hmm. they weren't like, you know, you find like community scrapes this time. They mm-hmm. look like community scrapes. Looked like buck was trying to work that edge right there mm-hmm. on that tree line.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fascinating as well. Got me kind of fired up for that location. But yeah, just a couple rub or a couple scrapes and then, you know, a mixture of rubs. But we found a couple of big rubs next to that cattail marsh. Other than that, man, they're like, I mean, nothing like what, you know, we've seen on other properties.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like that.
I mean, nothing like on a tree the size of a leg.
Right.
I mean, still like good sized trees and they're like hip height or above. Mm-hmm. And there's some good trails coming out of there. There's some like tiny land bridges going through the marsh that had good trails on them. And yeah, so we set up right there in the corner of that field.
Hey, bro, we're recording. I'm sorry. that background noise though.
Real world field.
Are you
man.
Drinking that water?
Yeah.
Is that water okay to drink, Tyler?
Uh oh.
Here he is.
House of party. Oh,
he's taking my place.
So about mine and everything.
Chicken made me sick today. Remember the chicken?
Uh-huh.
Man, I can barely walk.
Dude.
We're recording right now. Say hello. Introduce yourself.
What's up, guys? I'm the
slamming the door dude.
Stripper.
It's tough with audio content to, like, to get the actual feel, like literally the feeling of the room is right now. I can't wait until this podcast is over because I want to go to bed.
Yep.
Like I feel like every single person truck. In here is thinking the same thing. I really
I really hope I wake up in the morning.
I really hope I wake up because I gotta go to work.
Yeah, that would suck.
So,
I suggest waking up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yo, I got into poison oak again today.
Let me tell you about some poison ivy.
We're about to figure out how allergic me and Andrew are to poison ivy. So, Andrew picks the one tree. It's the one tree we can sit on this one spot where these deer...
Yeah, we're like, that's a gnarly tree, but I was like, we have to sit in that tree.
Are we really recording right now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. Dude, we got up in that joke.
Tyler, you going to bed, bro?
Yeah, I'm
still
sick.
It's a McDonald's, man.
It's just that Michael's taking my place. Oh. For everybody
Tyler,
listening.
Can I have one of your beers?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we can't say that. Oh, yeah.
I guess we can edit it out just so I can give away all my spots.
Oh, we've already,
oh, God.
We might have spilled the beans a little bit, kind of. Not really. I mean, if someone's doing their homework, they could figure it out. But the way that y'all are talking about your spots, I don't know if anybody would want to come in there.
No.
They'd just be,
I don't.
Well, God, thanks, Andrew.
It'd be a drop in the ocean.
The way you guys are talking about y'all spots, I don't know that anybody would care to go in this place.
You got the magic school boat.
I don't think you're going to have anything to worry about.
What's your name?
JT.
JT, Michael. Nice to meet you, man.
So Michael and JT just met for the first time ever. That was cute.
I've met the rest of y'all. Other parties.
Exactly.
Parties.
So you just got done
stripping at another house.
That's staying in the box.
That was quick. I'm proud of you. That was good. That was real quick.
She said. Yeah, I'm pretty dirty.
Well, oh, it comes with the business, I guess.
That's so, delirium, I guess.
So you were not stripping. You were...
No, yeah, I was.
While y'all were tracking that deer?
Yeah. We had strobe lights going and...
Had the dog out there and everything.
Should have seen the boat. It was like... We had purple lights around it.
Y'all were using those LED strips, just cranking some Drake.
I don't even know where we were.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You said something about poison oak. Bear hugged a giant poison ivy vine and put my face in it.
My whole arm is going to be covered.
Yep.
Probably by like tomorrow.
We got up in a tree and it was all poison ivy the whole way. It was the only tree we could get in. And he's like, "All right, we're gonna make it happen." And I'm like, "All right, you go up, pull it up." He didn't pull any of it up. And my face, like, well, hang this down. Face, freaking hands, mouth. I mean, so we'll find out how allergic I am. I'm normally not that bad, but we'll see.
So. Dude, I had it last week or 2 weeks. Was it 2 weeks ago? About two or three weeks ago.
You've had it so many times.
Then I had it right here on my forehand, or my forearm.
It was like all scabbed over.
Dude, it was like one giant scab right here.
Oh, man.
It's still a little bit scabby. You can kind of see that. There's a couple spots of scab.
Yeah, dude, that's rough.
In there.
That's one thing. That's a no-go. That's a no-go, man. You cover from poison ivy, man. Poison oak, whatever.
You gotta do what it takes.
Comes with the territory, bro.
Yeah. Andrew had a classmate try to use the restroom out in the woods and use poison ivy to
no
to
way.
Wipe with. Oh, that happened.
True story.
And he got it all up in his butthole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had to go to the doctor. Poison ivy. That wasn't poison ivy.
Had to go to the doctor.
I really don't want
to
have to edit this a lot.
Yeah. Tough one, though.
Anyway, but yeah. So, Michael, now you've been up here quite a bit. What kind
of... Me and him found a whole herd of bucks.
Yeah, so explain what happened that time when y'all came up here and took what it's like now. Because it seems like it's a pretty different...
It feels the same to me. They're just...
Well, I don't know. I haven't even been to Mud Creek since me and you come up. Oh, shit.
Dude, you kill us, man. You can't come to Tennessee. I'm sorry, man. You'll slip if you don't know the code names, man.
Just don't even tell them the name of the place. We're going to the Cadillac track, okay? Notebook on X.
We'll just call this like the furnace up here or something. Or
the furnace. Sammy's
furnace. Furnace.
That's good. Birmingham.
I
killed my best buck.
I just went wrong with the stripping.
On Thanksgiving morning. I killed my best buck on Thanksgiving morning on the dude who owns the furnace's property.
Really?
Yeah. He owns some property out there by Taney Hill. And we know a guy who he doesn't care about the land, I guess. Or maybe he does.
What is the furnace? Let's, for everybody listening.
The furnace is Birmingham, a strip club.
Or Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strip club. And somehow the owner of that strip club knows somebody who lives out on 13, which is where I like pretty much grew up out there. And he basically was like, hey, yeah, you can manage this land and make a hunting club out of it. And so that's where we hunted. Yeah.
That's
killed
cool.
Killed a pretty good buck out there.
That's awesome. The world. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So...
That was a random
So we just moved from a strip club to killing deer to Michael stripping, and y'all heard the Velcro because he was pulling his pants off when he walked in here.
Yeah.
This game.
I got so lost with the stripping comments. But we were talking to you about something. Oh, you asked him.
It's like
what the difference
What's the difference from when y'all were up here scouting and saw all the bucks to what it looks like now, so especially with hunting pressure?
Well, I don't know. I've only been here for, like, 5 hours.
Yeah, you didn't come up last week?
Uh-uh.
I thought you... Okay.
Now, they all...
Me and Nathan and Tyler did.
I was supposed to come up, but my wife had some issues, so I ended up staying at home with her, so... Mm-hmm. So I didn't get to go hunting at all last week, which sucked, because last week was one of those weeks that were just killer.
Yeah, people would
yep.
kill us a big deer.
Yeah, I don't know. When I went in today, I mean, I saw a deer. I think I saw 3 or 4. So, I mean, the numbers are still there.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy shot a decent buck. We tracked him for, I don't know. The dog ended up walking 4 miles, and that was before we even started heading back towards the boat. Yeah, that was cutting.
Yeah, cutting trail.
Yeah, cutting back and forth. But,
yeah.
I mean, it was probably a good solid mile and a half, you know, straight falling blood.
Yeah.
And then we just ran out.
It's tough, man.
Where do you think he did it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't know.
Mm-mm. The arrow didn't look all that great. Looked like it may have got some fat or something.
Yeah.
Because it didn't have much blood on there.
Old brisket shot.
That sounds like a brisket shot.
Old brisket shot. Been there, done that multiple times.
There was real good blood. There was real good blood. And, I mean, we followed blood for, like I said, probably, it was pretty close to a mile.
That's what my doe was. I shot earlier this season. And, dude, she bled like crazy. Yeah. Real bright blood. A little bit of bubbles. And then, like, on the arrows, like, a little bit of fat. And then she, like, she'd bleed for a while. She'd dry up. She'd bleed for a while, dry up. And we had a dog on her. Dog... Mm-hmm. Couldn't find her. Just lost the trail when she circled back. So
same thing with us.
Yeah,
I would so much rather miss my shot back and hit guts.
Yeah,
because a gut shot's gonna be.
You're gonna kill. And or a dog. A good dog can find a gut shot deer pretty easily.
Yeah, they like the gut. I mean, Ammon McKinney, the guy that's been on our show before.
You could also ricochet off of a branch and just hit the hind quarter. That's happened twice past two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That joker. I mean, we found that deer, what did it go, like?
40 yards, maybe?
40 yards.
Hit the artery up
high.
That hit that femoral.
Same thing with the buck last year. It deflected off of a little piece of sage, and that deer didn't go out of sight.
Yeah.
Be nice if that could happen every single time you hit.
Yeah. No, I've had a buddy that's done that with a doe before, just quartering away, and he slipped too far back. But, yeah, deer died 30, 40 yards.
Yeah.
So what happens when you hit him in the right spot, but I don't know. This season, I've had the best luck. I've had to bring two different dogs out to track. First doe I shot, brisket, and shot got pushed forward, deflection. And that was freaking miserable. And that was opening day in Tennessee. And then second deer I shot her 6 yards off the ground, and she was freaking about to walk on top of me.
Yeah.
So freaking shot her, according to, and went behind the shoulder. And in the moment of everything, I thought I put it like right between the shoulder and the neck, and thought I slipped it through there. went behind the shoulder and it exited between her legs. And she ran out, the arrow fell out, we got pulled out about 50 yards. She bled for 20, 30 yards. Intestines filled up the hole and it wasn't bleeding out of her side.
Right.
She ran and we couldn't find her, so we brought a dog out. She ran, I think, like 220 yards.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But it shows you the importance of having a dog. That's like one of the guy I had come out.
And did you see a big difference between the first dog and the second dog, like as far as the ability?
Yeah, well, yes. It might have been because of the handle. The first handler that I went with, he's been doing this for like 17 years. This dude's a professional. He sells dogs, high dollar dogs, like dogs that cost more than some vehicles on the market. But and his dog just, I don't know, just wasn't doing well with the whole hunt. But this other guy, he was a newer dog, he was a bloodhound he had. And he'd been doing it for a couple of years, and that dog had no problem. We had to wind it. Couldn't smell much of a trail. We just had to circle down, and he winded it and went up and found it.
Huh.
But it's just kind of fascinating. It's one of those things that, you know, Charles Miller, guy we've had on our podcast and tracked for me before, he's like, you know, you should always have, you know, guys spend all this kind of money on these trips like what we're doing now. You know, it makes sense to have a guy or two in your back pocket that you know you can call to bring a dog out.
Sure.
It just makes sense. I don't know why you wouldn't do that. You know, when I lived in Alabama, I never even thought about calling a dog. I didn't know that was a thing, dude, until like last year. I never knew people did that.
Yeah, I didn't know that, you know, they didn't want to charge you an arm and a leg. I figured it'd be like $500, you know.
So I know some guys that charge that much.
Yeah.
But, yes, you're right.
One of the best dogs out here in Alabama is Woodrow. Like, have y'all kept up with him much, with Woodrow and Ammon? So Woodrow's the dog, Ammon's the owner. And they find more deer than any dog I see on social media. He's insane.
I mean, it really is.
But he lives like 45 minutes away from here.
Yeah.
So.
Woodrow. Have y'all ever seen a picture of Woodrow?
Mm-mm.
No.
Oh my God.
He's just like a mutt.
It's going to blow your mind. Like, no lie.
Did you see that video where he drowned that deer?
Drowned a deer?
Your dog did?
The dog did.
That's a good dog.
I think it was out here.
Wow.
It looks like it. I can see like some terrain features that look like it's out here.
Yeah.
But the dog they got up on the deer is the hunter's first deer with a bow. And Woodrow got in there and drowned it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Dang, man.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing or a good dog. It's a good dog is what that is.
Yeah. Dog wants it.
Well, that's like one thing. I don't know what the regs are down here in Alabama, but I know in Tennessee it's pretty strict. They got to be on like a 20-foot leash at all times.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, I know their rules up there is like if you find the deer and it's still alive, they have to back the dog out. It's like a couple hundred yards before you can do anything with that deer.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you know? Forgot what I was going to say. I'm so tired.
Did you know?
Ammon was telling me about. What was I going to say?
That's Woodrow.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, okay, I have seen him.
Yeah.
That dog's insane.
Mm-hmm.
He's insane. Ammon was telling me that, like, whenever he gets... I've listened to him talk on, not on other podcasts, on his Facebook page, listen to him do his videos and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When people send him, like, a gut shot deer, or like some marginally hit shot, you know, marginal shots,
mm-hmm.
that most people would be told, like, you might not find that deer. He loves them. It's like gut shot deer puts out so much scent, you know, and stuff. The dogs just get right on it.
Yeah. I was told the same thing. It's kind of fascinating. Again, you know, it gives you a lot more confidence when you're going hunting. It's not to give you confidence to make bad shots, but it gives you confidence that if the, you know, worst comes to worst, you can call on somebody that has a trained dog that really knows what they're doing.
Right.
I got a Facebook shout out from a guy the other day who shot a buck, and he literally said, he gave me a shout out and said, I wouldn't have killed this, I wouldn't have probably recovered this deer if I wouldn't have listened to your podcast about tracking, because I had no idea that that was even a thing.
Yeah. Most people don't. Like,
just crazy.
My uncles down in Alabama, they did not know. I mean, they knew, like, some guy might have a mutt or a dog. Like, oh, yeah, I can track a deer.
Right.
But they don't go out week in and week out. Like, you know, I'm friends with quite a few guys up in the Tennessee Blood Trail Network. Mm-hmm. And there are guys that literally do this full-time as a job. Or they own their own business where they have the flexibility. Like, You know, you shoot one in the morning. Yeah, come back that afternoon and check it or whatever. Right. Like, it's just, it's cool.
They love doing it.
Yeah.
And it's like hunting them.
The guys that do it, they, yeah, like you said, they have a passion for it. They want to help out those hunters to, you know, recover those deer. One of the guys that we did a podcast with and I stay in touch with him pretty regularly is the Charles Miller. He's done a couple of different elk up in Kentucky. He travels all over the place. It's like, you know, if someone needs him, in, he's gone to West Virginia a couple times. He's gone to Virginia a couple times. But he tracked two bull elk in Kentucky this year. And they didn't recover each one. Both of them, they found living 2 days later. Dog found them 2 days later. And both were fine. Marginal hit shots is high, like, you know, up in the backstrap and everything. But it's just phenomenal, like, what some of those guys will do.
What I was going to say a while ago is, did you know that in Tennessee, you're talking about weird law, like different laws in Tennessee? Yeah. In Tennessee, you have to have your hunting license to track deer. That's what, I mean, that's
For
the tracker,
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Ammon, I think it was Ammon. It was either Ammon or my friend Brian, their guy. One of them, I'm pretty sure it was Ammon, told me that he had gotten a ticket because he didn't have, he had crossed over into Tennessee to help, track a deer for this dude, and game warden came up, gave him a ticket because he was going in the woods
without a license.
Yeah,
I'll say Tennessee probably has one of the highest in-state hunting license costs I've ever seen. Which, but you know, their whole thing is that's how they pay for everything they do in the state. It's all license driven. There's no outside funding for it. But I mean, $170, dude, for like sportsman's license for an in-state guy. That's pretty pricey, man. I can go to Ohio for that price.
Mm-hmm. But you know, I talked to another guy the other day that's from Tennessee, and now if you're from Tennessee, like they have like a resident like homecoming type thing where you pay the same as a resident. If you're from Tennessee and say you live in New York City,
oh wow,
you can use your Tennessee residency.
That's cool.
Like, you don't have to have a residency in Tennessee, but
it's a birth certificate or something. Sure, yeah. You're born there or something. That's cool. Hmm. I didn't realize that. But I'll tell you one thing. Like, I bought my lifetime Alabama license this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at what the lifetime license costs for Tennessee. It's like $1,900. No, or $2,100.
Oh, my good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You could buy a decent truck for that.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Alabama, people don't understand how good people, like, Alabamians have it.
Mm-hmm.
Hunting license, dude, $25, $30, $45.
Get five turkeys.
Dude, like,
$3.
It's amazing on what's going on in other states.
$3 and pretty much a doe a day.
Yeah.
If you want to, with a bow.
So, that's one thing that's kind of crazy, because, I mean, every other state, dude, I mean, it's, you know, $50, $60, $70 for a hunting license, something like that.
How do you think it stacks up as far as deer numbers, deer density?
I was telling Parker, you missed it. I was telling Parker, like, not to, like, dog on anybody from Tennessee, but it's a little easier. I think if you're just trying to kill a doe, it's pretty easy to kill a doe in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Every deer we shot this year, never scouted the place. I was looking on the map and the deer numbers are there.
Yeah.
Deer numbers are there. It makes it fun when you're going out. I mean, you're going to see something. If you know what you're doing, if you know what you're doing down here, you go up there, you're going to find deer.
Right.
I told him that's what y'all told me about Kentucky, and then Kentucky just kicked my butt.
I mean, but you found deer though. It's just,
yeah, you missed a good buck.
Let's not talk about it.
Let's
not talk about it. Andrew.
We all miss him.
Andrew's,
I missed a good
day. Andrew's missed two this year.
Dude, aren't you so a little bit glad that you didn't hit that deer, though?
Actually.
Because you didn't have to drag a deer.
When we were climbing down out of the tree, it set in. I was like, I hope that I don't, like, discover I actually hit it at this point.
Yeah, pull up Jacob.
Yeah, get down there and be like, oh. That's what happened in Tennessee with him.
Yeah.
Well, I got down there, I went to the arrow, and I was like, ooh. This is gross.
Gut shot deer to recover the deer next morning.
Yeah.
So is this, would y'all consider this to be like one of your favorite times of the year to get in the woods? We're kind of mid early season, I would say.
Depends on what state we're talking. I'll tell you, Tennessee's getting hot now.
Yeah.
Down here, I mean, it's fun when it's cool. Now, if it was 75, 80 degrees, this hunt right here would be miserable. Mosquitoes and everything else. Oh my god.
Hey, you talking about mosquitoes? It was cold and windy this morning. I still had mosquitoes around me. Yep. They're freaks.
They won't die.
You'll be all freaking like helicopter mosquitoes.
X-Men mosquitoes. These are mutants.
Yep.
It was crazy. But is it kind of the, like,
In Alabama, I never had success early season, but I love that last week of October going into November, because to me that's when the deer really, if you can find the food sources and everything, they're pretty predictable at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, hunting places like, you know, place down central Alabama, we'd hunt public land and stuff like that. you know, stuff's starting to kind of heat up a little bit, at least with the younger bucks.
Yeah.
You can kind of start getting some bigger deer on their feet more times during daylight, trying to start looking around, see what's going on. Plus, a lot of people are kind of, it's true, a lot of guys will bow hunt early season, first couple weeks early season, and then they wait until pretty much gun season. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys do that. So it's the perfect time to go hit public land right now, because a lot of guys, unless it's a hunt like this, a lot of guys are like, oh, I'm just going to wait. You know, freaking muzzleloader season comes up in a couple of weeks, you know. Rifles, right. You know, a month out, no big deal. So
I know you're a crossbow advocate, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
For ground hunting, it just makes sense using a crossbow.
Right.
But man, I'll bet you this hunt went up whenever more people started using crossbows. I bet the hunter numbers went up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In here, because I feel like every single person I've seen in here is hunting with a crossbow.
Really.
And a lot of them are on the ground. You know, like. Basically, it's hunting the way you would hunt. A lot of people would hunt rifle.
Yep.
I don't have anything against it. I thought it was interesting.
No, I mean, anything to get people out there and get interested in it. I mean, the numbers are just going down so quick.
You know, and today it was really hard. I told Tyler, I think my exact text was, I hate this place. Like, I hate this place, period. But the more I thought about it, you know, the more I've been like, you know, I mean, at least people are out enjoying the outdoors, you know. I pretty much just cut my hunt. I jumped that buck today, and I could have went a little bit further, but I didn't want to push anything away from those guys, you know.
Mm.
It really challenged, it for me, it challenges me hunting public land, especially I'm not used to people being around. You know, because where I hunt at Bankhead, I don't see people. Yep. You know,
yeah.
But it's just.
How do y'all feel about that?
I love the cat and mouse game. I love it.
Do you feel like it helps you or hurts you to have hunting pressure pushing deer around?
Depends on what your hunting education level is at. If you're just a basic guy, like nothing against it, because this was me, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. If you just go down to the family farm and you're used to sitting in greenfields and stuff like that, you won't be able to handle hunting pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you're someone that's, you know, skilled on kind of what you're doing, you know what to kind of look for, mm-hmm. hunting pressure go to your favor. That's like what we did today. All right, they were pushed back there in that corner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, this morning when I was walking in, I was like, you know, I kind of hope there are a bunch of people on the front of this place because, mm-hmm. like, the back is so hard to get to. I mean, it took us 2 hours to get to where we were going. And then, you know, we had to hang our stand. And
you
had to
hang your stand.
Yeah.
And saddle.
Well, shut up. But, yeah, I mean, I like the pressure, honestly. It works in your favor. And the place I'm hunting back home, I took an afternoon that I could have gone hunting. There's, like, a cold front rolling in and everything. But I was like, I don't know. I don't really have any spots picked out. So I just drove around, figured out where the people are, mm-hmm. and kind of relate that based on what I learned there last year and, like, some terrain features and stuff, and now I've got some areas identified where I'm like, this could be a pocket, this could be a pocket.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing not for guys not to get, like, consumed with is just because you go out to a new place. Like, this is my first year hunting this place.
Mm.
You go out to a new place, and a lot of times that first year is just trying to figure out stuff so you're not wasting time next year.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean...
Oh, yeah.
I have had to keep telling myself that about Kentucky. Like, mm-hmm. when we go back to Kentucky next year, I could tell you exactly how I'd be hunting it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I went there, and I would never... it's not a wasted trip. I still can go back, and I still have a buck tag, but mm-hmm. it's not
Speaking
a wasted trip.
Of, still got 2 Georgia bucks.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you guys... y'all figured out the deer. You figured out kind of where a general area now where these deer are going to be, you know, using that.
Yeah.
Obviously,
I flung an arrow at one of them.
I watched that video.
Yeah, it was real sad.
I got some real tight video, real up close. You know what I'm saying?
I got some from tonight too. So we can do like a montage of Andrew's hunts.
Oh, dude, yeah, he turned the camera to me when I missed that doe.
You don't even watch his reaction, man.
I just had a blank stare for a while. I was like,
no, there was. Anger, and then there was just
I was really mad for a minute. I was like, you idiot. Because I thought I shot...
How far was
underneath
the shot?
Her. She was 24.
25, yeah.
I held for like 25, and she ducked it.
That doe, she hit the dirt, son.
I should have known, man. It's a big old doe.
That's the one I was talking about.
Oh.
I said that.
It's buck nuts, baby.
Oh, I was like, dude, I'm like, listen.
There's, he's like, hey. There's the famous picture.
He's like, hey, man. He's like, you got a deer right on top of you. I said,
this
yeah.
is in Georgia.
I said, yeah, here it is right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I look over and I'm like, there's a deer right next. It's eating the bush that Mike's sitting in.
No lie. Like, I could hear him. He's like,
oh, dude, I was sitting over there. I was like, you better shoot that thing.
I probably would have if it had been legal.
Oh, dude, this afternoon, I turned to Jacob to tell him something. And I look back and I see this buck standing in the corner of the field. I'm like, buck. And I put the binos on him, and he's like this little forky weird thing. And I'm like, I told Jacob, I had, you know, like my release on and everything. I'm like, I'm not going to shoot him, but I'm going to draw on him to like practice. And he starts walking towards us. I'm like, I kind of hope he doesn't walk over here. I might shoot him.
Man, I've had.
You get drawn back and you're like, oh, I can do it.
There's been times that.
Finger slip.
I killed a deer earlier, so I don't feel like a whole ton of pressure, but there's been definite times where I've been like, you know what? A spike wouldn't be so bad.
Oh, know? Dude, I'll shoot a little buck all day. I'll put it on our YouTube channel and I'll catch flack for it.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah, if y'all can't start getting on some mature bucks.
No, yes.
You're going to have to hang it up.
I was going to tell him, that is so funny. Listen, he called me or he texted me something about it. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, dude. I was like, man, that's when you know you're doing something is when you got a couple of haters. And dude, that comment, like, that is the funniest thing.
Yeah. So, Jake, you mind if I share that?
Yeah, no, you're good.
I'll set up the story and you can kind of tell what happened.
Yeah, a little pocket deer.
And
pocket.
Jacob shot a yearling doe. Right.
No, it was a fawn of the year.
it was clean spots. Yeah.
That thing hit the dirt in probably June or something.
Nathan, the other day, he saw a little doe, and he said, I'm pretty sure the rain washed away the last spots.
Yeah, we had to wipe the milk off its mouth when we got up to it. Yeah, it was a little bitty thing.
Yeah, it was. I was like, that's kind of caught me off guard because two does walking in, but yeah.
Yeah, in your defense, it happened quick. Because my bow was still on the ground, and like he's like having to push his backpack up against the tree with a crotch to be able to draw back and not drop his backpack.
The truth, yeah, dude.
So were y'all even hung yet? Like, were y'all?
Yeah, we were hung. We were set up, and it was getting one of those spots, you know, never been to before, but it just looked good on map.
And buck sign everywhere.
Yeah, huge rubs.
Yeah, I saw y'all's video. I saw all the rubs and stuff that were in there.
Good spot.
But yeah, just got up and just caught us off guard. It was like 2:30 in the afternoon. It was like when we had a big cold front come through up there. It's like the second day of the cold front. It was high pressure because the first day was all rainy and nasty. Second day was just high pressure and just freaking deer were feeding.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, classic features, you know, 5 or 6 big red oaks. And dude, I mean, you could not take a step without stepping in deer crap. That's the really? First time I've ever found like actual feed trees. Ground's torn up and there's just deer crap.
Yeah, it's like everywhere. Yeah. It's almost like turkey sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. There was a spot that I hunted yesterday evening and I just got so wet and rained out. I was like, no. But there's a bunch of white oaks dropping in there and it was like that. It looked just like turkey scratch.
Yeah.
It was a cool spot.
That's one thing. That's one thing we talked about this year is like trying to find more so that feed trees than just like buck sign.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no point really sitting over rubs, you know, especially this time of year. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see that like in Kentucky, like early mm-hmm. season, maybe sitting over a rub line, trying to find some bachelor group of bucks, but it ain't gonna really help you that much this year. Like at this time of the year, I think. But I came with a mentality. I told Andrew this. Well, if I'm going into hunt supplies, I told JT this too. We're going into hunt supplies. I'm not going to see deer. I'm going to kill deer. Like that mentality where I'm going in there. I'm not going to spot just, I think I'm going to see something. I'm going in because I think I can kill something. That's what happened this morning.
Go in for the kill, man.
Yeah. That's what happened this morning, this afternoon. Yeah. Thing. And ever since I did that mentality, it made me think different when I'm hunting and walking and what I'm looking for. And it's worked out so far this year.
So you've done some hunts on the ground. Mm-hmm. Of course, you killed deer on the ground.
Yep.
You've shot two on the ground.
Covered one. Yep.
And now you're in your tethered mantis.
Yep.
What do you feel like you have more an advantage now being able to get up higher? Or do you feel like, man, I really like that down low stuff?
It depends on the habitat. If it's privet, like around here, ground hunting would be awesome.
Oh yeah, I agree.
The privet, mm-hmm. dude. I mean, you come through a privet thing and you have a little open. It's 25 yards wide. You just sit there, especially if it's raining. Like, I'll still hunt all day long if it's raining. Like that mist crap, that is perfect.
and just to stand there in the shadows and just freaking, that's how I killed that last doe, or I guess it'd be the first doe, second doe I shot. But I don't know, the saddle, I like it because, so I'm using two Lone Wolf sticks now along with some sound approach steps,
yep,
to kind of get up the tree. And it's like ultra light setup because I already carry so much camera gear. It's freaking, it's already like
insane,
12, 15 pounds.
So have y'all tried the Aider?
No.
The, when I say the Aider, the five step, you know, like,
yeah, the rock climbing. SMI, yeah. Well, it won't work for what I'm doing, but you could do it maybe with a Lone Wolf stick, but I don't think you can get, I'm not tall enough to get a five step on there. I'm 5'9". I can't get that Lone Wolf stick high enough up and still have five steps on the
bottom. Yeah. What are they using? The gym step? Is that what they're using?
What are you talking about?
You ain't seen it? What? Yeah. No? Oh, man.
It might
change your whole,
yeah,
whole thought. So, you know the little metal, little gym step?
Yeah.
All right. What they're doing is they're hanging it up. They're taking one of the five-step aiders,
mm-hmm,
and they're taking like a hook.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
You talking about the wild edge steps with the five step aider? You go up and it's like three steps to get up to like,
yeah,
25.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Because Matthew, I can't say the dude's last name. He's done it.
That's how I get up a tree.
He uses wild edge steps. I've used wild edge steps. I'm not a fan.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if y'all have used them. It's kind of sketchy.
This morning he hung two muddy steps or sticks.
Muddy.
What, or whatever your sticks are, long wolf sticks.
Appreciate it.
And went, and then what, six? Boom,
yeah,
the silent approach steps?
Yeah.
I used five wide edge steps and got as high as him.
Yeah.
Do you find that they take longer to set up?
Nope.
I think they did it first.
It's, yeah.
Once you get the hang of the knot and getting it in the right,
mm-hmm,
the right tension and you snap it, it's, don't use soft bark though.
Yeah, we've
got it today. Yeah, soft bark, they'll slide out real bad. It doesn't matter how tight you get it, it's gonna slide. But you put it on a hard bark, hardwood.
So are you gonna get a platform or are you just gonna keep using your
wide edge? I use that or I have the ring of steps from Bowman as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I almost bought a ring of steps the other day.
Dude, the ring, I like it. Like, seriously. I told, mm-hmm, I was talking to Greg Godfrey. I'm like, dude, I freaking am loving this ring of steps. I'm like, I still want the platform, but, I mean, it's just the flexibility of it. And you can, like, you're not just, like, your feet aren't just, like, on a little platform or, like, on the side of the platform. I can, like, maneuver around. And I can, like, if I can take pressure off one leg, it's comfortable. It's nice. A lot of people are like, man, I can't be comfortable.
A lot of people,
yeah,
think that there's no way the saddle should be comfortable, but man,
it is.
I get in there and I'm like,
it's a lot better than that sit drag.
I look forward to it every single time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sit drag, I thought I was wearing a pair of thongs. Like, I mean, it just didn't cover up like half my butt cheek,
yeah,
and I mean, just cutting into you. I wasn't
so,
a fan of that.
But you're pretty used to the thong.
I am,
right?
Used to those thongs. Yeah,
yeah, stripping. I mean,
you
I
saw.
Remember that time?
That one time at Andrew's bachelor party, right? You're coming. Right?
You're in his books.
Yeah, that's already booked, man. Andrew, get ready.
I booked it before we were friends. So speaking of friendship, you guys are kind of like the last people that I thought we'd be doing hunts with this year. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, we started our very similar podcast in the same week.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, literally the same week.
Yep.
And there was a little bit of tension in that. I mean, I'm sure y'all felt
you're
it,
like,
too.
Who's this guy? Yeah.
Who's
Bankhead?
Freaking,
who's
Bankhead?
Who do you think he is? They got it, yeah.
What is it? What do you say, Bankhead?
Bankhead.
Oh.
What do you think is it?
I was wondering. You're talking to him about Bankhead?
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
Were you asleep that whole time?
Maybe. I just heard you say
I feel
Bankhead.
Like every time somebody else start talking, I kind of doze off a little bit.
I should doze over here for a little while. You probably watching
me. I wasn't watching you, bro. I was like, I hope they're not looking at me while I'm resting my eyes.
I'm over here passing out.
Jake, every time Jacob talks, I'm like, okay, it's going to be a minute. But seriously, I mean, it's interesting. You know, when it comes to deer hunting, a lot of people, they just, it gets really serious. Like, it gets really serious, and you're like, these guys getting all up in our, you know, we got these similar podcasts, and like it's kind of a cutthroat type deal. And I was telling Tyler, it's just so much nicer though to have buddies, you know, to have friends that you can
see. That's what I like about it. There's not a whole lot of people doing what we're doing.
Yeah,
I mean, there's just not down here yet. I mean, it's gonna catch on.
Yeah,
but I really like, you know, having the camaraderie, you know, people to talk to, shoot, you know, ideas off each other.
Help each other out. I grew up in hunting clubs where everyone hated each other.
Yeah. Hey, fun. This is my 20 acres. You can't hunt here.
That's my stand. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I'd trade, like, legit, dude. I'd trade, like a nice buck for just, like, this right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, kind of camaraderie. It means more to me than.
And it's also cool that we're all on the same level when it comes to public land hunting. Mm-hmm. Like, we all have the same kind of experience with it.
Right.
So.
I don't know, bro. I don't know that any of us in this space right here are on the same level as Michael Pike.
I'd say probably Andrew.
Andrew's got a lot of knowledge.
I haven't spent a lot of time with you, so.
Me and Mike, every time we go out, we see giant bucks everywhere.
I just feel like Michael, like, we were talking today, I was like, I bet Michael comes in and sees all kinds of deer up in here.
I got some close encounters with no bucks.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, I beat all of y'all when it comes to seeing bucks from the kayak.
I'm telling you, y'all
seen so many freaking bucks, man.
Parker sees bucks every single time he goes out, but I never see those bucks
because they're always running away. They're always running, bro.
You got to slow down.
And I'm trying, man. Oh my god, I don't even want to talk about it. Don't even want to talk about it, but I agree with you, man. Yeah. Like, it's when you can talk to people who, you know, you talk to people at the gas station. I'm sure y'all have had it before, too. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you get into a conversation with somebody who's maybe they're public land hunters, but just not, like, the hardcore.
Yeah, just like, I'm going to go out on the couple gun hunts or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just go out with my bow and just see what happens.
And it's almost, I mean, it's almost like talking to somebody who's with a different hobby. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, when you start talking about stuff like, we just did the podcast about thermals.
Thermals, yeah.
You start talking about stuff like that, and people are like, I'm not tracking with you. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, dude. I had a guy the other day like that. I was explaining thermals to a guy who's curious about it, and this other dude walks by and overhears me talking about it. He's like, what's that? And I was like, oh, it's thermals, this and that. And he's like, my dad don't worry about none of that. Kills lots of bucks. I was like, I bet he does, man. That's how it is.
It's a different world when you start getting into this. Me and Tyler were talking about that too today. Like, I was asking him, like, when, because Tyler didn't have his family didn't hunt or anything. He just kind of got himself into it, really. And so I was asking him a bunch of questions, trying to kind of figure all that stuff out, you know. And I was like, so when you start hunting, I started doing this, and he kind of answered the question. And I was like, but when did you, like, start, like, hunting? Like, hey, I want to be good at this. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm sitting in my circle of friends outside of these guys, I want people to be blown away by the amount of knowledge that I have, you know. Because that's what it was for me. It was like, I want people, I've heard you talk about that. The guy said the greatest compliment that somebody can give you is that you're a good woodsman.
Yeah, that was my mentor that said that.
I mean, just the fact that you have a mentor in when it comes to, like, the hunting lifestyle, that says a lot.
He sent me a picture this morning. He went out and killed 8 squirrels and a rabbit in one morning.
Dadgum.
That's good. Anybody who small game hunts, that's pretty good, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard to limit out on squirrels and shoot a rabbit without dogs.
Hey, do y'all ever feel really tempted to shoot a fox squirrel whenever they come underneath you?
Dude, I got a some killer video of a fox squirrel.
If I had a small game tip today, I'd have whacked one.
They're so cool.
I think they're big. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you go, like, because, like, you know, down in freaking, you know, where we're from, like, Alabaster and everything, you know, I'm not used to seeing, I guess, a bunch of fox squirrels. And then we go to, like, so many swamp places and stuff. And I'm like, dude, that thing is giant. We're like, that ain't no little gray squirrel. That thing is huge.
I know.
It's like the difference. I'm from West Texas, and we have jackrabbits up there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
And they're like the size of a, of a small deer.
Really?
Yeah.
Huge.
I mean, they're about the size of the deer you killed.
Yeah. Oh, that was perfect. That was perfect.
Yeah, I mean, they're big. They're literally like three of them. Three of these rabbits could probably make it the size of a small deer. Yeah, I mean, because they're just big animals, you know? And then you got little bunnies, you know, out here. It's like, how are they even related? You know, it's like a fox squirrel. Those fox squirrels, like their face is just like, it's, I want to mount one. Yeah. If I ever shoot one, like with my bow, just because I'm bored one day, I'm going to probably get it mounted and.
Yeah, I got some skins from them that I killed when I was a kid.
Really?
I used to tan skin.
Andrew's over here tanning freaking anything he gets his hands on.
Yeah, dude, I got squirrel skins. I got rabbit skins.
I thought your legs looked pretty tan today.
Oh,
yeah, thank you.
Is he tripping too?
I saw him and Michael's brochure together that they had. It was at the gas station earlier, but. Y'all, it's almost midnight.
That's fun.
Now let's go trudging. Let's just go ahead and start walking into the marsh now.
Yeah, go there. Sleep in the saddle.
I'm gonna have to get to the church.
Dude, I think you could. By the way, I think you could sleep in the tethered mantis with the recliner. I think you could just like and not even worry. I think you could do it. I'm gonna try.
I do this, so maybe y'all do it too. Like. So my bridge is right here in front of me, and I cross my hands like that, and I just go like that. I just go to sleep just like that. That's why all the deer are probably coming back to me, and I'm just asleep.
The other one is if you got a jacket in your bag, just wrap it around the carabiner.
Oh, it's like a pillow.
You make a pillow on the carabiner.
It's like the perfect height. Just kind of right there.
The other day, I was so tired sitting in the tree stand, and I like, that carabiner's like right in front of my face, you know, and I was like balancing my nose perfectly on it, so it like propped it up, so I could just kind of sit like that, and it just, for everybody listening, I like you can't get a visual of it, but I was like,
he's basically got his fingers up his nose.
Yeah, so like my fingers are the carabiner, and I'm doing like that so that it kind of, I can open my eyes and still look around, you know, and see, and just shut them again.
Oh man.
Oh. I love that thing.
Yeah.
I love that mantis.
It's cool. This is, this afternoon was my fourth sit in it. First sit was horrible. First sit was brutal.
Really?
Dude, listen, okay, because I forgot my release. I forgot my bow holder. Something to freaking hold my backpack up. I was going to take a little screwing step for that. Didn't have a platform. I had one wild edge step in the top of a lone wolf stick. The wild edge step rotated on me halfway through the hunt. Dude, it was miserable. And I didn't, and had the saddle way too high up, bro. It's like on my lower back. And I'm like, dude, why does this hurt so much? I'm like, why is it hurting so much? Jeez, man.
That's how it was when I got up in his saddle, which is too big for me. And
dang,
yeah, dude,
shots fired.
No, I mean, that's the way it is. Dude, it hurt, man. I was up in the saddle for like 30 minutes. I'm like, this sucks. Like, this is incredibly painful. I was like,
well, you should try the extra small thongs.
And cut. All right. Good podcast, guys.
Leave it on that note.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, even with the size, it was too big for me, though. Like, I got to the point where it was pretty comfortable.
My best hunt was, when was it? Crap. Where can I go with that? It was up in Tennessee again. I went out on a hunt, same place I shot that doe, and did everything that Greg told me to do. He's like, you know, sit low, like on your belt, you know, below your belt line, you know, tighten up your leg straps, you know, check your tether and everything. And I did it, dude. It was so comfortable. It was like a 4-hour sit, dude. It was afternoon, so you got there real early. Perfect the whole time. I'm like, man, this is like awesome. And it's like, I got a lot more confidence. The weird thing is, when you're attached, you know, having the confidence of like moving your feet around without like trying to hold on the crap because you don't have to. It's like mentally challenging. So that's still kind of funny. I'm like, I got to try to put my feet there. And I'm like, I'm scared to fall. I can't fall.
Yeah, that's so true. When I was up in it, there's certain things that you like, you're like, I know I can do that, but my legs won't let me do it. Because your body's like, no.
Oh, man. Dude, that like, I'm like, oh, I could just turn around and get a shot right here. And I'm like, ah.
Yeah, you just get like all locked up.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to get comfortable in it. And I'm like, trying to swing around the tree a little bit, and I'm like, my feet slip, and I just like swing around and like latch onto the tree. I'm like, all right, so don't do that.
I love it though, man. Do you got knee pads?
No, I don't even need them. I've never sat on a tree big enough that I really need knee pads. Cause either I normally put the tree's like right here on me, or I can put my knee on there with my pants. It doesn't. I haven't been on a tree that the bark was so hard it was really hurting me. Yeah,
I have.
So
I left my knee pads the other day. I just gotta get some. I've got some like Walmart ones. They're not Velcro. Tyler went and bought some dang Velcro ones. I was like, "What you doing, bro?" Mine have like the little pins that you like,
get some
put it around it.
Timberlines, and they come with knee pads.
Yep.
Yeah, but why do that when I could just spend $10 and not $10,000?
Exactly. Whatever the hell I want, spend $10 and have some knee pads.
Yeah, where
knock it till you try it.
What's Tyler always say? Can't hide money.
No. A lot of Christmases, dude. Keep telling y'all that. So I just know what to ask for Christmas.
He's got loads of bets on, man. He's rocking them. I got mine soaked today. I should notice my Camino's.
I went and picked up some mink oil because mine are leaking.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where are they leaking at?
Everywhere.
I'm
not taking...
You need to back up just a little bit. You're like right in the mic.
Yeah, you're being way too aggressive.
Okay. Yeah, you're so aggressive over there.
I'm not. Well,
How long have you had your Tibbetts?
A year.
Really?
Year.
And they're leaking?
Yeah.
When I was up there with Tennessee.
Hey, man, I put these things in the ringer.
I mean, I think I'm at 450 miles, I think, on those boots.
Yeah, maybe. When I was up there with you, you let me wear those, and I felt like Iron Man.
Dude.
Those things are so stout, man. These things are like house slippers. Like,
yeah. Is that what you hunt in?
Yes, look at them, dude.
This is what I do every day.
Look at the bottom of them. Okay, put your foot out here. Look at these.
Slicks, man.
They look like my tires.
Yeah, these have too many miles on them.
It's kind of you got all that Sitka gear on, and then you got those boots.
It doesn't match, does it?
Wore out boots.
I saw a picture the other day. It wasn't the other day. It was during the summer when we were talking on Facebook. There's a thread about leg gaiters, and you posted a picture of those
Kinetrex,
mm-hmm. which I have, and they sucked, by the way.
Really?
Oh yeah, they got all kinds of holes in them.
Yeah, dude, I love them.
And the buckle broke on one of them.
Really?
Like, yeah, and I haven't even hardly used them. Anyway,
I haven't had any issues.
But you had those Kinetrex and then those shoes. I was like, Andrew wearing gaiters with teacher shoes. Like, what's going on here?
Yep.
Hey, man.
Yeah, I need some new boots.
Yeah, dude, get you some Lowe's, man.
Hopefully Santa Claus.
Did you get some new ones?
Yeah, we got some Caminos. It's like it's a little bit different design.
Yeah.
And that's what I was wearing today. They're awesome. The only thing is that the Tibbetts, they're waterproof all the way to the top. The Caminos aren't. They have like a shorter tongue on it, so like water leaks in. I freaking found that out after going knee deep in a beaver dam log jam thing tonight. So yeah, but yeah, no, they're awesome.
Beaver Dam Log Jam. That's the name of y'all's place where y'all are hunting.
Beaver Dam Log Jam.
Let's go hunt the Beaver Dam Log Jam.
That's my new band name.
It could be your new stripper name.
God, no.
We got old Diversion over here. That's a pretty good stripper name. What would yours be?
Ground Zero. What would mine be?
No, Ground Zero is not good for a stripper name.
Oh God. I don't know.
Maxwell's House.
Mad Max.
Yeah, you're not supposed to have your real name.
Mad Max, I like that.
Mad Max. You'd be Ginger Snap.
Ooh, okay. That's cute. No, I like the Beaver Dam Log Jam.
Is it both or one or the other?
No, it's like, a two-part series. It's the Beaver Jam and Log Jam.
Yeah, like, they call me Log Jam.
They call me the Beav.
Oh, man.
This podcast took a left turn. Quick.
Oh, real man. Quick.
That's what you get when you got a lot of delusional guys that have podcast deadlines.
Oh my gosh, dude.
I've been up for over 36 hours straight.
Hey,
no sleep. Paddling 15 miles. We've been treading through a marsh for all day. Trying to
I don't know
quiver.
What, man. It hit me this afternoon before we went out. That tire hit me and it was like... What?
Got hit by the Beaver Dam Log Jam.
I didn't even see him all day until just now.
I'm running that down Beaver Jam
log. The Beaver Dam log jam. Or the Beaver, say that Beaver three Jam. Times, man. Log jam.
Oh no.
You know, let's just drop the log and the dam. Let's just call them Beaver Jam.
Y'all can get you like a radio station and be like, oh, 103.1 the Beef.
The Beef Jam. The Beef Jam playlist.
We'll just make a new podcast. And we'll call it that. The Beaver Jam.
I bet it'd get a lot of listeners just because of the name.
Yeah.
Have a drop on Tuesday.
Yeah, there we go.
You drop your regular one on Monday and then the Beef drop
on Tune in tomorrow for the Beef.
You're gonna end every episode with that.
I'll see if we can pick that one up on Sportsman's Nation.
Call it, man. Be like, I got a golden idea.
Well, boys, y'all have to get up in about, well, if y'all sleep in, y'all got about 4.5 hours.
What is y'all's plan?
I don't know.
Y'all going to sleep in and go for the midday hunt?
That's what I was telling him. Maybe that might get in at like 7.
Because everybody I've talked to, including my friends back home and some guys who hunt, like this part of the state, everybody's seeing them right at dark, which is when we saw them today, and people are seeing them at midday.
Yep.
Like nobody's having any luck early morning that I know.
I saw that big buck today at 3:20.
Yeah.
3:20, mm-hmm. Really? I saw every deer that I've seen midday when I'm going in. About.
Yeah. It's something about the water. I really like down there, like around the marsh and around like any of the water sources. There's something about like midday. There's transitioning to different stuff.
You
down
got
the water.
Theories on that, thermals and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard you talk about that stuff.
So
you're so into it. He called me yesterday and he's like, "Yeah, I'm coming up here and the cows are all facing east. And they're all sitting down in this pasture."
Oh, I was confused. Yeah, I was hearing. I was like, "What is he talking about?"
I knew what he was talking about.
Those fishing terms to hunting. Cows are laying down. Don't go fishing.
Yeah, is that what they say?
Yeah. Our campsite.
They're laying down
fishing. A catfish rod.
Yeah, dude. Our campsite's pretty cool, dude. That at Goose Pond, mm-hmm. like on this big point, like we had this whole point to ourselves.
Believe it.
You just said the name of the camp.
Oh, pond.
At the
I pulled a MP.
So the last one we recorded when it had like 783 bleeps in it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, so this is actually the second time we recorded this podcast.
Yeah, first time didn't work.
My computer went out. So.
I didn't know we were still recording. I thought you like. Yeah.
No, we're still recording, but we can stop now. All right, guys.
This has been. We'll go kill a big buck tomorrow?
The Southern Groundsman.
The Southern yep. Groundsman.
The Beef.
The Southern Groundsman.
That's going to be your name now. The Beef.
The Beef. And the Beef out.
You got to do it in a deep voice.
You got to
do it in a deep voice. Tell everybody to tune in.
We're going to get out of this podcast with your...
Tell them to tune in to 102.5. The Beef.
Do it like that.
The Beef.
All right, well, as you can... probably tell. That was a pretty dang funny episode with the guys from the Southern Outdoorsman. And you probably already found out that you're not going to learn a whole lot of tactics or tricks or tips or anything like that from that episode. But hopefully you just enjoyed it. We had fun. Love hanging out with those guys. Hopefully we'll get to do it again soon. So check out their stuff. They got a YouTube channel and podcast as well. Check it out. I think you'll enjoy that. Let's see. Big thanks, as always, to our partners at Onyx, at Tethered, at New Breed Archery, and at Go Wild. I highly suggest you check out all of those companies for the things that they offer. It's all good stuff. Let's see. Check out our YouTube channel. We've got some pretty cool stuff on the YouTube, and more is going to be coming out pretty quickly. Mike, you shot a deer, man, like, what, 2 weeks ago? A week and a half ago?
Yeah, it was the first week of bow season.
First week of bow season. So we'll have that video up then. We'll have, we've got the video of my opening day doe kill. Pretty soon we'll have the day, my bow kill this from this weekend.
And then the buck from Georgia.
Yep, and then a buck that Michael saw in Georgia. Couldn't shoot, but some pretty cool stuff coming up on the YouTube channel, so check that out. I think you'll like it. We got a lot of cool stuff coming down the pipe. Also, all the other podcasts on this network, on the Sportsman's Nation Network, are great. We got the Nine Finger Chronicles, DIY Sportsman, Land and Legacy, and of course, Southern Ground. All good stuff. All things that I think that people can benefit from. Check that out. Check out the Western feed if you're into that stuff. If you're into elk hunting, mule deer, antelope, all that cool, fun stuff. I think you're going to find something on the Sportsman's Nation that you will enjoy. You got anything else, Mike?
Beaver Dam Log Jam.
That's it.
That's it, man.
The Beaver Dam Log Jam.
The Beave.
The Beave. That may be what this episode is titled, The Beave. I don't know. For search engine reasons, that might not be the best thing that we could possibly name it, but
I don't know. We could probably get a bunch of extra hits out of it.
Maybe
no
so.
No pun intended.
Oh man. Everything about that episode and this outro is just kind of taking a left turn. So, I'm not gonna say going south. Oh, the puns. Okay, so I don't have anything else. You have anything else, Mike?
No, man. I'm just going to go pitch my tent for the night.
Go do that. I'm going to go to sleep, too, after I finish editing this podcast for all of our awesome listeners. So you guys, y'all have a great week. Hopefully, you're out in the woods. Hope you kill something. Hope you guys have a good time chasing these whitetails. Remember, God gave us dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and the beasts of the earth. So make sure you go out and exercise that dominion. We'll talk to you guys next time.